Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters, folks. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here. But if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you on the 19th of October, 2010. We have a special treat for you today because we'll be talking about a very unusual horror flick titled Dead and Breakfast. But it's not just a horror movie. It's also a musical, which, as most of my listeners know, automatically grabs my interest. Just think, The Rocky Horror Picture Show meets Shaun of the Dead. Happily, actress Ever Carradine is with us today to talk about her splendid work on this indie gem, and we may hear from music man Zach Selwyn and filmmaker Matthew Lutweiler a little later in the show. But first, as always, let's see if Nikki Starr has everything set up in our chat room. Nikki, are all systems go in the chat?
Yes, all systems are go, and we are looking forward to the show.
Great, so am I. And thanks to you, Nikki, for keeping things moving in the chat room and to the people who are participating, as well as to all our other listeners. I think they're in for a great show today, so let's get started by bringing in our special guest right away. It's my pleasure to introduce Ever Carradine. She boasts over 40 films and TV programs to her credit. She's a member of an impressive acting dynasty that goes back to her grandfather, one of the best character actors of all times, John Carradine. And she's appeared in such movies as Bubble Boy, My Boss's Daughter, and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, as well as some of my favorite TV shows like 24, Castle, and my all-time favorite, Commander-in-Chief, Eureka, Supernatural, and The Women's Murder Club. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Ever.
Thanks, Betty Jo. That was quite an introduction.
Well, we're delighted you could be with us. I just have to tell you that I loved your performance in Dead and Breakfast. I mean, it was so dynamic. It reminded me of Uma Thurman in the Kill Bill movies, which are also some of my favorites. You turned out to be a very tough cookie here.
I was pretty tough, right? I'm not that tough in real life, but I think I faced it pretty well.
Well, you sure did. I just thought it was a different, you know, quite a different role for you. What drew you to this project?
Well, I am I used to be on a softball team with Matt Lutweiler, who wrote the script. And I was on the team, and Eric Palladino was on the team, and Zach Selwyn was always there, and Billy Burke, who's a co-writer, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. We were all on this softball team, and we were terrible. But we would always go out for drinks after games, and one night we went out for drinks, and Matt asked me, he said, if he did a horror movie, would I be in it? And I was like, sure. And I thought nothing would come of it. And like 2 months later, he'd written the script. And then I think 6 months after that, we were on location making the movie with the softball team, basically.
Well,
Betty Jo,
yes,
Betty Jo,
Nikki.
I just wanted to let you know that Matt is here.
That Matthew is here.
Yes.
Slowly.
Great.
Sorry.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi.
I'm so glad you could make it. And
can Matt
congratulations
hear me?
On. Yeah.
I can now hear everybody.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. Who am I talking
Ever.
To? Is Ever there?
Matt.
Yeah, I'm here.
Ever is
oh,
here.
Good.
Ever and Nikki and me. And I want to congratulate you on this very entertaining movie that you gave us, Matt. We're so glad to have you here. We know now how Ever got involved, but since you're the writer and the director, sort of the guy in charge on that movie, let's hear from you. Why did you decide to make a horror musical?
I'm not really sure. I was always a big fan of Evil Dead 2 in particular.
Huh.
And was actually up in Northern California, where I'm from, talking to John Madden's company, the football coach, John Madden's company, about a football movie. And we never got off the ground, but his family had just bought this property, and they were about to, like, completely tear it apart and renovate it. And they showed me pictures of it, and they said, wouldn't it be a great place to shoot a horror film? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, if you can do this in the next 4 months, you can use this location. So we just kind of, slapped together an idea real quick, and then started cranking out the script and talked to all the I don't know if she told you that most of the people in the film were originally, or at least the core of the cast, were from the softball team that we were all playing on at the time. And
yeah,
we
heard about the softball team.
We were the best-looking softball team in the league.
We did. Now our softball team, by the way, Ever, is not playing on the team right now, although maybe someday we'll drag her back. It continues on.
I had a baby, Betty Jo, so she took over. No more softball for me.
Well, I think your baby is sitting there on your lap. Is that right?
Well, now she's in the other room. But, she's right here. She's very quiet.
Well, not that this has anything to do with Ever, but the team is much better now. We're winning lots of games, so maybe that can lure her back to the team.
But not
we were not very good. Back in the day, we were not very good.
No, I think we won one game, and that was a forfeit. But we made
that
a great movie, so whatever.
Exactly. So anyway, we put everyone together, and they're all friends, too, outside of that softball team. And I think I even was talking to Ever at a bar, and I asked her what she wanted to do in the horror film. I think you had said that you wanted to cut Eric's head off.
Mm-hmm. With the chainsaw, please, preferably.
That's kind of the process of making the movie. I thought, she wants to do that, so we'll make sure that scene's in there. And it kind of was this kind of a bunch of little moments, and then we kind of stitched together the story around what we thought would be really kind of funny, over-the-top moments. And then we got Zach involved. I had always been friendly with Zach. I didn't know him real well back then, but he was starting to do this kind of country rap. And I thought, God damn, that's just different and weird and funny. And
well, because he kind of did it at the softball games. Like, he would sit in the bleachers and sort of rap every time we went up to bat. It's miraculous how it all kind of came together so well.
Yeah, so we just threw that in. And everything but the kitchen sink was thrown in, as tends to be the case with a lot of these kinds of off-the-wall movies. And the mixture just worked really well. It was a lot of fun. And Zach's music is, a real driving force of the movie, though. I mean, it's one of the things that I think makes it a standout, It really is the thing that makes the movie a standout.
Next to me,
well,
of course.
Next to Ever.
You don't get a cast like this in a movie that costs $500,000 with all this blood and guts in it. It's very rare to get, like, what I consider real actors in movies like this. It's usually people that are, the acting's always been kind of secondary in movies like this, and to have it at such a high level, it made it even funnier, though, because you're just
it
like,
was fun. We had a really good time.
In this movie?
And then remember when you asked my Uncle Dave to do it, and he was like, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. And we shot the thing very quickly, too. We shot it in, like, 15 days or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a very short shoot. We all piled
15
in.
15 nights. We were all just waiting for the sun to come up every day.
Oh, God, it was brutal. We stayed at, like, a Marriott hotel, right, in Livermore. And it was all corporate people that were staying in this kind of motel other than us. And so they'd be
like
up in the morning.
Like Extended Stay America kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. They'd be up in the morning with their briefcase and their suits and in the little breakfast area. And we'd come marching in after working all night. And, Ever would be soaked in blood. She'd walk up and grab her cereal and muffin and sit down next to these people. For them, like, what the hell? Who are these people?
I know, they would just stare at us, and we were like tired and sort of wide awake, probably ordering wine and drinking, wine, scrambled eggs.
It was.
Well, you had a great cast, my gosh. Well, yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think of the names of all of the people. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but of course, Ever, Zach, and then Oz Perkins, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who's really gone.
And that was fun working with Jeff, at the time, because Jeff, even now, he's much more known for kind of drama, and now he's becoming like an action heartthrob kind of guy. But really, where that guy excels, and I hope that he gets more opportunities, is comedy. I mean, he is really a funny dude.
He's so funny.
Well, he was the sheriff. He just made me laugh.
And then Mark Kelly, who played the deputy sheriff, I thought the two of them together were just
They were so good together. Mark was so good.
We didn't really know Oz. That was kind of an addition. We didn't know him. He was kind of – some friends of ours knew him, but
– He wasn't on the softball team. But
he was not on the softball team. But we thought it would be a fun thing to add him. And then, you know, we had to pull him aside and ask him if I could get the one shot, the low angle, looking over his shoulder up at the house a la Psycho. I didn't want to just sneak that shot in there because, you know, in reference to his dad. I said, hey, would it be okay if we did this? And he's like, he looked at me like, really? And then he goes, yeah, fine. So I ended up getting that shot, which was a lot of fun. I mean, that whole movie.
Well,
your
mm-hmm. uncle David was in the movie also.
He was. He had just finished Kill Bill, and he didn't he wear Kill Bill shoes the whole movie?
Oh my God, I forgot about that. They said Kill Bill on the side of them.
Yeah.
and the chef, I've forgotten the name of the actor that played the chef.
Diedrich Bader.
Yeah, with the voice. I always call him the voice because
he was in Office Space, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. And when he expressed interest in being in the film, I just told the cast and directors, I'm like, you got to get him. We just got to figure out what to do with him because he's just awesome, you know.
He is awesome. Well, I have to compliment you too, or maybe it's not what you actually did, Matt, but maybe you had some special effects guys. But the opening credits, where bed and breakfast is the first thing we see flashed on the screen, and then immediately after that, the word dead is written in blood red color, and it splashes over bed, and we know that the title is Dead and Breakfast. What a way to start the film.
Yeah, that was all June Tan, who was one of the kind of co-creators of the concept and the producer on the film. He did all of the artwork throughout the movie, the transitions, you know, the kind of comic cell transitions into Zach's singing performances were all done by June. It was a lot of fun. It was a do-it-yourself movie. I mean, everybody pitched in and all sorts of weird ways beyond just acting in the movie or beyond just writing the movie or editing the movie.
And doing a weird song and dance, doing a weird song and dance.
Didn't that happen like the night before or something?
What?
The dance? Wasn't that sort of not scheduled?
I'd always written it in the script. It just said, and then they do this line dance. And I didn't really have it all planned out. And so, who?
Brooke choreographed it. And I think they choreographed it like in the same lobby where we were like having breakfast covered in blood with bankers and lawyers.
Because she wasn't available to come up until the day before, and we couldn't afford to bring her up any earlier than that.
She couldn't afford to drive up, or she didn't have time to drive up until the day before.
So we got her up there, and she worked with everyone for not very long, a couple of hours total for the whole line thing. And we went out there, and it kind of became, it's the biggest imprint.
It's genius.
On the movie,
it's so good.
Yeah,
it turned out so well.
Yeah, you know, I like everything musical, but and singing and dancing, and I just get so feel so joyful, even if it's ghouls singing and dancing, and I really think that number rivals the Time Warp.
Yeah,
it's Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Maybe that the next chapter, Matt. Maybe we need to do like midnight screenings where people dance along or something.
Well, you know, the film still gets out there usually around Halloween. It plays in various places around the country. It seems like every year, more and more theaters keep asking for a print, and more kind of private parties want to have screenings of it. It's funny because we always thought it was kind of funny, you know, and in the moment we were doing it, it was very funny, and then in the edit we thought, this is working. But when we screened it, we premiered it at South by Southwest, and people went freaking crazy. I mean, literally dancing on their seats at some of the screenings. It was, and we were like, oh, wow, we've kind of hit a chord with this for sure, you know. So it was a lot of fun.
It's
unexpected, you know.
Well, I think it's a great show to have on Halloween, and I'm just so glad that you two could come on our show, because this has been Horror Film Month this October leading up to Halloween, and I have been just ever since starting this show, I've been thinking how can I work it so that we can talk about Dead and Breakfast, because it definitely is one of my favorite movies. And I wanted to go back to Ever about the role that she played in this. Now, Ever, you had some very violent scenes, and lot of physicality went into your performance. Did you do anything special to prepare for that type of role?
No, but sometimes before before I chopped Eric Palladino's head off, he told me that it's good, like, guys sometimes do push-ups before they shoot a scene like that. So Eric and I did some push-ups. I think I did girl push-ups. But, no, I just wore a tank top and tried to not get too much blood in my hair because I didn't want it to turn pink.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's really why that whole idea, though, of
That's why I was covered in plastic, because
yeah,
I didn't want to have bloody hair for the whole movie.
Yeah, it ended up being a really cool concept, though, but we were trying to figure out a way of keeping the blood off of her hair as much as possible.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of our effects department. They wanted me to be just drenched in blood the whole movie, and I was like, I can't do that every day. I can't come in and just have you pour blood on me, because it's kind sticky and sweet. Ugh.
It was very cold, too, though, Ever. Remember how it was
freezing? Yeah, it was freezing cold, and this is, you know, I'd like to say it comes out of my head, this color, but this is an expensive blonde that I just didn't want to mess up.
Well, whatever you did, it definitely paid off. But I'm curious to know what you enjoyed the most about making this film. Ever, why don't you go on that one, and then we'll hear from Matthew.
You know, it was just fun. It was like I got there, and I think I was coming off doing another show that was a little bit more serious, and sorry, someone just brought my baby around.
What would
it be? Distracted. I was doing a show called Lucky at the same time, right, just before that, I'd been sort of stuck on one set, and then I got it. I just didn't think about. I didn't have any expectations. I just thought I was going to go make a movie with my friends, and like I didn't realize it was going to be all nights, even though the whole movie took place at night. Do you remember that, Matt? I got there and I was like, oh wait, night. It's nights. We're shooting nights. But you know what? Like, Matt runs a really fun set. Everybody was happy to be there most nights, and it just was collaborative, and nobody got treated any better than anybody else. I think we all shared a big Winnebago. It just, I don't know, it was a lot of fun. I don't have one specific moment that was amazing, but I just, the whole thing, I look back on it and smile. It was really, it's not always fun. A sour apple will spoil the bunch, but there was one for a second, but then that worked itself out.
Yeah, I mean,
the good thing about horror movies,
you
chop somebody's head off.
You don't
want to
talk about that.
Yeah,
no, we're not going to talk about that.
I'm the same. I don't have any specific thing. I mean, what's cool about the movie, especially as the years kind of keep rolling by, is that it's a movie that just keeps living on, you know.
Yeah.
And to know that I did it all with my friends, and we were all kind of in earlier stages of our career, me in particular. And I'll never have an experience like that again. I mean, I'll never have all of my friends together in a situation. I've worked with all of them in various capacities on bigger films since then. But we'll never all work together in an environment where people aren't breathing down our necks and telling us how it has to be made, and where we're just kind of sitting around making a movie. That'll never happen again. I realized that when we did the commentary for the DVD, which has also received a lot of people love it.
It's
great. Because you can tell the affection that everyone has for each other. There might be a few too many people in the commentary, because I think it was like seven.
I haven't heard it. Are we just talking over each other?
Yeah, but
it's
really funny. And there's been a lot of the reviews of the movie mentioned you've got to listen to the commentary.
That's so funny. Now I have to listen.
It's really cool to go back and listen to it and see where everyone's careers has gone, and also where our friendships have grown, like Ever's got married and has a kid, and a lot of the other – Oz has a kid, and I mean – Jeff Morgan's got a cabin.
Everyone had babies.
Yeah. A lot of people have gone through divorces, like me. We've all kind of gone through life, and it's fun to kind of look back and see where we were at that point and know that we're still in one way or another, still in each other's lives. It's pretty unique, very unique experience.
I think we should do screenings every 10 years or something, Matt.
We probably will. You know, Miranda, my business partner, and I have been talking about doing a screening on a Halloween in L.A., we may do one next year, but
we'll let you know, Betty Jo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yes, I want to be there. I'll try to do a teleportation or something. But you know, I think we've been neglecting Nikki and the people in the chat. So let me ask Nikki if there are any comments or questions from the people in the chat that you'd like to share with Ever and with Matt.
Well, I put the link for the YouTube dance, you know, the line dance. And the
yes.
chat had, I guess it's, I had never seen it before, but it was great. And it just seems like there's a couple people in the chat who had already seen the movie, and they said the best thing about the movie, you could tell that they had so much fun making it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, that,
awesome.
That's for sure. And
did
that,
you put
and,
the gag reel, is that on the DVD?
I don't think it is.
Or was
yeah,
that
it,
just...
was, it was on the, there's a European version that it's on, but
yeah.
it never got on the... U.S. version, unfortunately.
I bet that would be great.
It's
yeah,
probably
it's,
as long as the
I
movie.
It's pretty awesome.
I'd
so,
like
yeah.
to see that. I only saw the U.S. I only saw the U.S. version, so I would
yeah,
like
to see
that. Yeah,
the U.S. version came. We didn't have all of our act together when the U.S. version was when the deal was sold, done, and we delivered everything, and the foreign we had another 6 months or so before we had to deliver stuff. So we just got a few more things that we got to throw in there.
Well, if you have the premiere, maybe you can, if
oh,
you have a showing on Halloween, special
absolutely.
Showing on Halloween, then you can show, make sure that we get to see that. But
yeah.
now this is a serious question.
Uh-oh.
And I know everybody had a good time.
Yeah.
But what were the biggest challenges that you faced? Matthew,
well,
you first on that one.
Yeah, two things. I mean, all these actors work a lot and we started shooting in the middle of pilot season, so they had to come and go, a few of them, during the course of the shooting, so we'd have to rejigger the shooting schedule sometimes the night before. All the locations were built right next to each other, so
mm-hmm.
we were able to do that, and that was kind of done purposefully in case this did happen. That was big, dealing with the cold and the visual effects, because they were all practical. There's no digital effects in the movie. You know, when they didn't go right, the reset time on them was huge. You know, you have
there was
blood
a lot
all over.
Of blood.
Yeah, and so that was the hardest thing. It would just slow you down, and it was so cold. I mean, there was ice on the ground. It was, you know, 25, 30 degrees at night, and you're standing out there. Well, with the actors, they're like tank tops, you know, covered in wet blood. So I think that was probably the biggest challenge. And you know, you're shooting a movie in a couple of weeks. It's hard, you know.
Yeah, of course it is. Well, when you talked about the weather, it reminded me when we talked to Barry Bostwick, who has been on the show to talk about the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah.
And he mentioned that there was that type of a situation in filming that movie, you know, that the weather was really, really bad. And, in fact, I guess Susan Sarandon caught pneumonia.
Oh, really?
During the
we all got sick once we wrapped. There's something that happens, I don't know what it is, but somehow, like, as an actor, I can always make it to the last day of filming, and then the day that you finish, like, then you get pneumonia.
It
never happens when you're filming.
Yeah.
Thank heavens. The show
Thank
must
heaven.
Go on. Exactly. Well, what was your biggest challenge ever?
You know... It was really cold. I think that was the challenge. And also when you're working nights, you know, you get picked up at about 5 o'clock at night, and then you go to work, and then you go home at 7 o'clock, and home is, you know, to that little hotel at 7 o'clock in the morning. So it sort of turns everything around. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That nights were a challenge for me. But I'm a sleeper, so. And, you know,
well,
the blood and the gore, that part was fun. I got used to it.
Yeah.
It sounds like you did, and I know you had a lot of fun making the movie, and you really did like working with Matthew, but what did he do as a director to help you with your performance?
Oh, geez, I don't know how she's going to answer that one.
No, I will say one thing about Matt is that he always has the best attitude. Matt, you always seem really happy to be there. You're going through it with us. I'm sure if I asked you to put a tank top on because I was wearing a tank top, you would have done it. I almost chopped your head off, though, didn't I, with the axe?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I almost decapitated him.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, all of the gore in my review, Matt, I just said that you drenched the movie, or you soaked the movie in outrageous gore, from decapitations, stabbings, chainsaw attacks, removal of various body parts, and so forth. Did I leave anything out?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. That was much it.
That was pretty good.
So, and of course the horror fans, they do love to have all of that. I sometimes the horror movies go a little bit overboard, but this one was done as a comedy, so
oh.
I didn't have to close my eyes on this one. So
yeah.
I knew
all
what you were getting at.
On, you know, over the top, so it's not scary. I mean, the movie, it's the funny thing about it is everyone goes, that's a horror movie, and it's really not. It's comedy. I mean, all the actors are comedic actors too. They're really
but good. But you kept all the gore so really real and juicy and gory that
yeah. I mean, if like I'll tell you, you know, we got an NC-17, and then we I went into protest it because I was like, this is ridiculous. It's so goofy that you know, nobody's gonna be scared here. And you know, they hinted because they can't tell you the MPAA can't tell you where to make cuts, but they kind of
really.
Yeah, they can't tell you, but can't be specific because they're not supposed to, you know, intrude upon your art. So I got the hint of certain things from people behind the scenes, like, look, you know, if you cut this out, you cut that out. So I did the cuts that they wanted to get this R-rated version, and the movie was so much scarier because, like, when somebody's head got cut off, you'd just see it for a split second, and then we would cut away, and your mind would see something much more violent than what we showed, which was, after a while, you realize there's a rubber hose there and the blood squirting 10 feet in the air. That's not realistic. It's absurd.
That shot that you have, like, aerial shot of me chopping Eric's head off, and I think I put my foot into it at the end or something to, like, get it going. Like, that to me is the goriest, scariest part of the movie.
That is the goriest, scariest part. But
yeah.
The rest of it, like, you know, Rick getting his head blown off at the front door, they had me cut away from that, and it really looked like he got his head blown off. But
yeah.
If you see the cut the way it ended up being in the movie, it looks totally ridiculous, and the head rolls down the hill, and then, you know, somebody kicks it or something like that. I mean, it's the absurdity makes it digestible. It's not scary.
I think that's true. That's very, very well said. And this, as I've mentioned before, this is Horror Film Month on Movie Addict Headquarters, and we're asking all of our guests to tell us their favorite horror movies, so ever. In addition to Dead and Breakfast, of course, what is your favorite horror flick and why?
Favorite horror, you know, I just rewatched Carrie,
oh, God.
Which I hadn't seen since I was a little girl. I think at my, like, 10-year-old birthday party or something like that, we all watched Carrie. So I'm going to go with Carrie right now, which is definitely bloody and gory and really odd. I don't know if the last time you've watched it, but it's a really dark, strange little movie.
Oh.
Well, it is, and the mother... Piper Laurie's turn as the mother in that movie is the scariest thing of all to me.
I know.
Oh,
it's so creepy.
She was just brilliant in that. Some of the other people that we've asked, I believe, have mentioned Carrie. That's
really
big.
Well, it's
on
like
the list.
Mean Girls meets a gory horror movie, so it's like, you know, the worst part of
well,
high
right.
school.
It is Mean
like,
it's the original Mean Girls.
It's the original Mean Girls.
Exactly, it is. It is. Well, what about you, Matthew? Do you have
well,
a favorite
you know, Evil
horror?
Dead, I'm more in. I like the comedy of Evil Dead too. I thought it was great. But I, you know, I like The Thing, a lot.
Ooh. Oh yeah.
John Carpenter's Thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was terrific. God, you know, in more recent times, like 28 Days Later, I thought that the way that reinvented the zombie genre was it blew my mind. You know, I loved
me
when,
too.
When Cillian Murphy wakes up and he walks outside of the hospital and he's, that shot of him walking through London and nothing. I mean, it was awesome. You know, awesome.
That was a great movie. That's an excellent choice. And
here, by the way, Danny Boyle's coming back to do the third one. He's going to direct the third one in that series. So it'll be kind of
oh,
cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I can hardly wait to see that one. And speaking of horror movies, Ever,
mm-hmm.
your grandfather, John.
He did a few. Huh?
Oh my gosh! Well, of course he did about 340 films and TV series or programs, and I'm no spring chicken, as you can guess, and I used to really be frightened of him back in the 1930s as a child when I was watching the movies that he was in. I think he was in Bride of Frankenstein.
I think he was, and then he was in everything. He was in. they got worse as he got older, or I think as he had more kids to support. They got the Dracula meets the cheerleaders, or they got really cheesy as they got later. But he was busy. He did a lot of horror movies.
That's hysterical.
Something named Frankenstein's Island, I think that he was.
Yeah, they were like two things that you would never put together, and they somehow put them together and made it into a horror movie, and he did it.
That is hysterical.
So you have a tradition of horror films to live up to.
I know, I do, and I'm such a baby. I don't really watch them. Like, I could only watch Carrie because I'd seen it before.
But you watched a good one. You watched one of the best. So.
I did.
Well, I know that you are you might have to leave early because is your baby behaving, Eric?
My baby is behaving, but I should probably go in the next few minutes.
Oh, well, I just have to tell you that I'm so excited that you joined us today and that we were able to hear you talk about Dead and Breakfast, and it's obvious that you enjoyed it so much, and probably as much as your fans did watching you. So thank you very, very much for coming on the show, and we'll let you go so that you can take care of your little one.
All right. Thank you, Betty Jo. It was a pleasure talking to you, and thanks for all the sweet things you said about Dead and Breakfast.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And Matt,
really,
I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you.
All right. Okay, bye, you guys.
Bye, Ever. Thank you so much. Oh, Matt, she is just terrific to work with, I'll bet.
She's awesome. Actually, I used her in a film that I just did with Dane Cook and Barbara Hershey. And unfortunately, it looks like her scenes that she was in are ending up on the editing room floor, and only because the movie ended up being very long, and that storyline just had to end up getting cut, as well as about three or four other storylines. I wrote a very long script. You will see that on the DVD for sure, because she had a couple scenes with Dane that were really, really nice. But I love working with her,
Well, she is just a delight to talk with. One of my favorite roles that she's played was in that great series, Commander in Chief, that ran for a couple of years.
Yeah, it was a great show.
And she was great.
She mentioned that show Lucky that she had done
on
FX, and that actually was her at her best. I thought the show was terrific. It was a little ahead of its time. It was right before poker really became this big thing that it's become in these celebrity poker tournaments and all that stuff. It was probably a year before poker took off, and it was about a gambling addict, and she was the kind of love interest on that show. It was really about the two of them, and it was a terrific show that just lasted one season. A little ahead of the time. I think if it had come out a year or two later, it would have stayed on the air for a while.
Well, I hope we get to see more of her. But Matthew, tell us a little bit about your background. Now, you're the co-founder of Ambush Entertainment, and one of the movies that you're known for is Roadkill. Would you like to tell us a little bit about
that?
Ambush?
I mean, that was right out of film school. That's how Eric Palladino and I first hooked up. Made that movie for like $150,000. A hit woman and film student on the road together, and crazy things happened to them. But it was a black comedy. But because since then things have changed quite a bit. Ambush, that was pre-Ambush, and then Miranda Bailey and I, my business partner with Ambush Entertainment, we've kind of moved in kind of, I hope, bigger and better ways. Dead and Breakfast will always be the start of that company and something that we look back fondly, and we've kind of toyed with the idea of doing a sequel. People have approached us about that. We just haven't done it yet. Maybe something will happen with that. But, we've moved on to kind of other things. We did a movie called Super this year with Rain Wilson and Ellen Page that we just sold at the Toronto Film Festival. It's a kind of a superhero violent comedy, kind of like Kick-Ass.
And what's the name of it again, Matt?
Super.
Okay, that's easy. And Rainn Wilson and
Rainn
Ellen
Wilson.
Page. Wow.
Liv Tyler and Kevin Bacon are the stars of that one. It's a terrific film. I think it's kind of come out probably in March. And then we have a film coming out in January called Every Day with Helen Hunt and Liev Schreiber and Carla Gugino and Brian Dennehy for them.
My gosh.
That's more of a drama, but it's a nice, little more sophisticated film. And then I just finished directing a film with, like I said, with Dane Cook and Barbara Hershey and kind of an ensemble. That's kind of like Crash, maybe. I don't know if you know.
Wow.
Julie Benz from Dexter is in it. And
Julie's been on our show. Oh, we just love her. She's a friend
of
the show.
Great to work with.
Wow.
And then who else is in that? I mean, it's just a giant, giant ensemble. But we're just finishing up the edit on right now and doing the score and hopefully have that at festivals in the next few months and then sell that, and then maybe that comes out the end of next summer is kind of the goal for that. But, you know, there's been a lot of stuff that we've been doing the last couple of years. So
well, you've been busy and working with some top talent, too. So
I got to work with somebody that I had always hoped to work with two summers ago. I directed William Hurt in a movie called The River Why, and that was co-produced with Ambush Entertainment, but the kind of lead producers on that are called Peloton Productions, and they kind of control the fate of that movie. I think they have a few offers on the table that they've been mulling for quite a while now, and I hope that gets out early next year. But it's a coming of age story about a young kid who gets into a fight with his family and moves to an Oregon river to find himself fly fishing every single day, and the kid is played by Zach Guilford from Friday Night Lights, and Amber Heard is kind of his love interest in it. But it's a beautiful story and very different than Den Breakfast. It was based on my favorite novel growing up called The River Wye, and I was really excited to get to do something with.
Well, I can tell. I can tell that you are. You've given us some great films to look forward to, and I appreciate that. We need to have you back when some of them get out so we can talk a little bit more about it. But we always ask this last question that Nikki calls the big one. So I'm dropping the big one here for you. What's the most important thing you want people to know about you and your work?
Oh, gosh.
That is a big one, right?
Question. I don't know. I want to entertain people, but that's what's great about a movie like Dead and Breakfast. It's just fun to have people singing along with it and dancing in their chairs and being freaked out by the over the top violence. But I think as I've gotten older and the things that are attracting me more are things that kind of will stick with people and make them discuss things about their lives.
Yes.
When they walk out of the movie and have conversations. I'm not necessarily looking for people to love everything that I do, but I would like people to walk out of a movie like The River Wye and discuss kind of philosophy, which is a big part of that movie, or out of Answers to Nothing, this movie with Dane Cook, and really think about what's important in their lives and in their relationships with others, because that's really what that movie is about, and the struggles that all these people have. That movie heavily deals with people making mistakes, but owning those mistakes and trying to improve themselves. So, I don't know. I hope that the movies kind of make people think and move them in some way. That's all you can ask from art, I guess, huh?
Oh, wow. I like that answer. And I hope you don't give up on making entertaining movies like Dead and Breakfast. But I do love also the type of movies that you've just been talking about. You've been such a terrific guest today, Matt.
Oh, thanks for
I'm so
us.
Glad you were able to be on the show, and I hope you'll come back again. Will you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We got to get Zach in here next time. I was hoping.
But
I guess not.
No, he might have had trouble getting
the
call through.
He got an episode of a television series this week, and I know he's working this week, so that's probably what happened. He's probably just on set.
Well, tell him that we missed him because we really enjoyed his music. I think he enhanced the movie considerably.
Oh,
so
yeah.
But it's time to wrap things up now here on the show. So this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their splendid support, and special thanks to Matt Lightweiler and Ever Carradine for being with us, and to Nikki Starr for all her help as our producer extraordinaire. Thanks also to our chatters and other listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Please come back next time for another lively discussion about movies. And in the meantime, don't you forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now let's close the show with a song I'd love to see Halloween creatures dancing to, especially ghouls. Watch out, everybody. Here comes Footloose.